So we are studying
We'll continue reading sources about the 9th of Av. We'll continue from quote 26. So, 26 is taken from Introduction to the Book of Zohar. Baal HaSulam says this, "In such a generation, all the destructors among the nations of the world raise their heads and wish primarily to destroy and to kill the children of Israel. As it is written, no calamity comes to the world but for Israel. This means, as it is written in the above corrections, that they cause poverty, ruin, robbery, killing, and destructions in the whole world. After, through our many faults, we have witnessed all that is said in the above-mentioned tikkunim, and moreover, the judgment struck the very best of us, as our sages said, and it begins with the righteous first. And all the glory Israel had had in the countries of Poland and Lithuania, etc., there remains but the relics in our holy land. Now it is upon us relics to correct that dreadful wrong. Each of us remainders should take upon himself heart and soul to henceforth intensify the internality of the Torah and give it its rightful place according to its merit over the externality of the Torah. Then each and every one of us will be rewarded with intensifying his own internality, meaning the Israel within him, which is the needs of the soul over his own externality, which is the nations of the world within him, being the needs of the body. And that force will come to the whole of Israel until the nations of the world within us recognize and acknowledge the merit of the great sages of Israel over them and will listen to them and obey them. And the internality of the nations of the world, the righteous of the nations of the world, will overpower and submit their externality, who are the destructors. The internality of the world, too, who are Israel, will rise in all their merit and virtue over the externality of the world, who are the nations. Then all the nations of the world will recognize and acknowledge Israel's merit over them, and they will follow the words, and the peoples will take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them in the land of the Lord. And also, and they will bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders." This is the meaning of what is written in the Zohar, through your composition, they will be redeemed from exile with mercy.
Questions? There's nothing to ask. Tzvika, as usual.
It is written there that no calamity comes to Israel.
No calamity comes to the world unless it is due to Israel.
Why? What's the problem?
It's not a problem, but the whole world is as a field, as matter, and Israel as the active part. And for this active part, the whole world is either judged to the scale of merit or the scale of detriment. And so what is he saying? That if good comes to the world, it comes because of Israel. If bad comes, it's because of Israel. It's all for the benefit or the good or the bad comes for Israel. That's the changing part. It's the middle third of Tiferet. It's the free choice in the general soul. If it changes to here, meaning to attribute itself to the upper part, then everything is for the good. And if it's to the lower part, then it's all for the bad. And that's how it happens. So what do you want? So according to the way Israel works, to here or to there, the world is either happy or cries.
Is there an issue that we can explain what's happening with Israel through the study of the Ten Sefirot, that there's a connection, why things are happening according to the study of the Ten Sefirot?
I just told you now.
No, you didn't tell me the...
Where does he write about the soul? That this is the upper part, the lower part, the Ten Sefirot, the middle third of Tiferet. He writes in several places.
Where does it? Do they? Where are we situated as Israel in the study of the Ten Sefirot? You always say another Holocaust can come and things like that, and I'm asking why? What's going on?
Israel are those who are capable of defining themselves towards adhesion with the Creator, by which they also judge the whole world to that scale of merit. And that's what's called Yashar Kel, directed to the Creator.
Why? Where are we located on this map? What's the reason?
We are placed in the place that is called the Middle East.
Okay, but there has to be a logical explanation.
I can't talk with you this way.
Is there a place in the study of the Ten Sefirot, a point where you can say, this is where we are, Israel, that's the point in the heart, this is the work we need to do?
In our desires and intentions, you can draw this, but not physically. What are you talking about? We are talking about desires. Where am I? I can't explain to you. I remember that I couldn't find in this world where I am. I couldn't find. Where in this world is the soul? Where in this world is the Creator? Where in this world is the Ten? It's all on a different level, a higher level. It's not associated with the matter. What are you talking about?
The root of us as a nation.
If we, those who yearn for the revelation of the Creator, called Yashar Kel, Israel, will stabilize ourselves correctly, as he tells us in letter number 17, yes, Israel, the light, and the Creator are one, then the whole world will exactly straighten up that way after us. Yes, the whole world. There's no problem with that. There's no more to say here. More questions? Well,
it says there that the calamity begins from the righteous. Why? Why people who are...
If people fall, then first the great ones fall. If the Parzuf shatters, then it's shattered from the highest degrees in it until ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, it breaks like that. Like a building that... which is imploded that way. We're from above all the way till it settles below.
So their intentions are pure?
What holy intentions if the Pertzuf is whole? And if there's someone that... I don't want to say. But if there is, let's say... a state comes, it's a known question. Let's say wars come, some problems, someone is pouncing upon Israel, they want to ruin them and destroy and burn and destroy. So what do you expect? Who's to blame for that?
It's one approach.
Why do they specifically so-called start with the good ones amongst the people? Because they are to blame. You can't demand from the general folk to do the right actions for you. But those who understand, who are in the force of the light, in attainment, they are to blame for what's happening to the general folk.
They're guilty in that they didn't succeed in...
Yes, why didn't they bestow as they should have? And therefore, the blows start with that. He doesn't want to write it in such a way, but you understand it's that way. It's written that that's where it starts. But why? So I just told you. That's it. They're to blame, just like the people of Israel are to blame for what's happening to them. The free choice is in their hands. There's no one else that can, in this world, decide the future. Therefore, that's how it is. Okay? Good. Didn't you want to ask something, Asaf? So that's already...
It kind of connects to the previous part.
Okay, well, we'll ask.
That there is basically one law in our work that we first discover the broken soul, the shattering, the broken desire, and maybe that's why there is a need for the Creator.
Yes, correct. Well, let's go onwards.
27, Rav Kook writes, the depth of evil and the greatness, its root is the depth of good. Turns out that the depth of hatred is the depth of love. And if we are ruined, and the world is ruined with us by unfounded hatred, we will be rebuilt, and the world will be rebuilt, but by unconditional love.
This is why it says that there has to be a complete ruin. This is after the exile in which we absorb all the ego, we raise it to the building of the first and second temple. And after all of this shattering, we come to a state in which we can erect from the shattered kilim, which are truly broken. This is in Mochin of Chaya, and this is in Mochin of Neshama. We can actually raise it to the Mochin of Yechida. Okay? Yes?
The destruction is an action happened to the desire or the intention?
Upon the intention. Well, the desire doesn't change. The desire changes according to the extent in which you attribute it to the intention, or as much as the intention rules over the desire. If it's the intention in order to bestow, then with your efforts, you're connecting the desire with the intention. And if it's the intention in order to receive, then the intention in order to receive controls over the desire.
So all the changes that happen in the world result from intentions?
All the changes that happen in the world are... No, you can't say that they're as a result of the intentions, that we, with our intentions, can bestow, we can influence the form that the world takes on at any given moment. But the world has to go through all kinds of states in order... to define its final state, its final form. Meaning the world does not take on the our form. I can't look at the world and say, that's my form, only being demonstrated externally. No. The world shows me the relationship between my state and the state that I need to be in the current state, in the current moment, or the current point.
There was unfounded hatred that created the ruin. Was that about intentions or desires? What causes the shattering, basically?
Only the intention causes the shattering. Only the intention. What does that have to do with the desire? The desire is always the desire to receive. What do you mean the desire to receive? It means that I have a donkey. And this donkey can work for the benefit of one boss or another, to a people that will direct it.
And you direct it by intentions.
The fact that I direct it is already my intention.
Okay, so... is it right to say that the intentions determine the shape of the world?
Certainly. The spiritual world is all intentions, which ride upon the desire so that we will see the intention, locate the desire, the intention. Because in the will to receive, we can't grasp the intentions. We don't have an instrument to feel the intentions. Rather, it's like when you look at a person, you see what he's doing, you see what he does, you can kind of say, oh, according to that, it's probably his intention is that.
Are world is also ruled by intentions or only in spirituality?
Our world, certainly, but every single world, every degree, whether spiritual or corporeal, is of course ruled by the intention, but in accordance with its degree.
Because here it's like anyone who is not on the path is completely unaware of these intentions that exist in reality.
So what?
So there's no control over the desire at all.
A regular person that is not yet on the spiritual path, or is completely not on the spiritual path, he doesn't know this at all, then he's managed. He's operated by the upper force, which brings him from state to state, that confuses him, that makes of him all kinds of different states in order to prepare him for the spiritual work.
So, from what stage can we say that the person is given the reins to a certain extent when he starts seeing that he has intentions? And
it has to do with the sufferings that he feels.
But the suffering, or you feel them in the desire.
Sufferings are the greatest gift the Creator can give him, because only according to that we awaken. That stabilizes us and does everything.
That's clear, but the suffering awakens you to change intentions?
Sufferings, the torments, I just need to spin them, invert them, as I'm in corporeal sufferings or sufferings of love, spiritual sufferings. That I already need to do some sorting. Okay? You're local. I'm looking for someone from overseas or someone else. Oh, Shamir, this is a groom. Who are you? You're actually also a groom. Not too long ago you got married, yes?
Good morning, Rav. I wanted to ask you a question about the Zoom meetings.
A small Zoom meeting, or do we have...
No, the ones during the day.
Uh-huh, the group.
My question is whether the person is hitting you if you don't come to the Zoom.
Of course, be careful.
Because yesterday, but I was late at 11:30, towards the end.
And after that, my day went so busy, I couldn't give any time. It was very difficult, and it made me so disconnected. Ze emet im bore ose muka?
Is it true that the Creator gives us such a blow? If he...
Look, let's put it this way. You're under that control, and you're the judge of it also. You're judging whether you are asked the Lord of your time or not. Yes, I have a boss. His name's Dionir. You know him here? There's no wisecracks with him. He's very serious about this. He writes for me. At 11, you have to film for an hour ahead. So at 11:30, I can't be in the Zoom. And that's how it is throughout the day. What to do? So am I responsible for it or not? On one hand, I can't do anything because it was written and everything. On the other hand, to come to him and beat him up? So that's why in every place you need to see whether you can decide or not. The truth is that it doesn't matter what impression you get from the Zoom. When I connect to them, what do I receive? But those 5 minutes that I'm there gives me the possibility to feel how much I want to give them, not in words, I'm not talking, but my love. I'm demanding of myself my participation in such a way, and that's the main thing. Try it that way and that way. We have Ashkelon, yes, many people there. Ashkelon.
Question. If free choice only exists in Bnei Baruch, so is the calculation, the account only for us or not just with us?
In truth, according to what we just read in the way Baal HaSulam writes it, it's truly, where is that? In the introduction to the book of Zohar, 71. So probably we're the only ones to blame for what's happening in the world. If only we have free choice, we need to think that way, that we are responsible for the whole world. And according to the state that is being revealed every day, our situation is not good. We are not fulfilling our role. I can't demand of anyone except for Bnei Baruch to participate in this because I don't know. The Creator doesn't bring us connection. He brings us a connection between us in the groups. And this is still extremely lacking. You can see how the world is deteriorating from day to day. There's deterioration towards Israel, that's one thing, and towards all of the corporeal reality of the world, the other. And we are before very big shocks, extremely big. In America, Russia, China, here I'm not even talking about it. We need to demand more of ourselves. We read 27? Well, 28.
28. By the torment and mourning comes the joy, and from the trouble itself comes the well-being. But in terms of fear comes love, as it is said, in a time of trouble for Jacob will bring about salvation. He wishes to say, in a day where the time is very pressed, then quickly salvation will emerge to cause the unity. As it is said, that in the day of the ninth of Av, Messiah is born, because only in the day when the temple was ruined, when the people of Israel were in the lowest degree, then is the time to bring forth the ray of salvation of our Messiah that will come soon in our days. And the reason is because by descending down to the bottom, that descent brings them back to rise up to heaven. Just like the seed, which is rotten in the ground, and then it can put forth crops and grow. And that's why the children of Israel are called the seed blessed by the Creator. Again, by the fasting and mourning comes the joy, and from the trouble itself comes well-being, because in terms of the fear comes the love, as it is written, and a time of trouble for Jacob, and from that he will be saved. That is, on a day where the time is very pressed, then quickly the salvation will emerge from it to cause the unity. As they said, on the day of the ninth of Av, the Messiah is born, because only in the day when the temple is ruined, when Israel were on the lowest degree, then is the time to bring forth the ray of salvation of our Messiah that will come soon in our days. And the reason is, as it is written, that by descending down to the bottom, there, this descent brings them back up to the heavens. Just like the seed, which when rotten in the ground, then rises and grows the crops on the land. That's why the children of Israel are called the seed blessed by the Creator. This was from Tiferet Shlomo on the holidays, from the hints of Purim.
Questions? There sounds only Niv, the annoying one. Well, another? Let him at least.
What is unconditional love?
Unconditional, unfounded love is without any reward. It's the same thing like unfounded hatred. There's nothing except for me filling it with hatred. There's no justification. So why do you love him? I love. Why do you hate him? I hate. Well, what happened? Just like that. As they say, for the sake of heaven.
Do I need to think about, to use this term, unconditional love, only towards people I study with, or also towards people outside?
First of all, of course, those that you want to define with a framework called a soul, in which the Creator is revealed, in order to bring him contentment. That is first of all. So I think of the whole world, I know that I need to bestow to the whole world, and that's my obligation. But I need to have a kli to bestow to the whole world. So that kli is nevertheless my ten.
I didn't understand. What's more interesting to me, the question is, how do I behave with people who don't have a feeling of this love, complete love?
You have nothing to do with them. Just try to be straight with them and pleasant, courteous, but has nothing to do with spirituality.
This concept called unconditional love doesn't have to do with people who are not.
No. Love and hatred and all that the wisdom of Kabbalah talks about is the work of man first towards his group. And we can see this in the groups there, Rabbi Shimon, Ramchal, the Ari, Baal HaSulam. This is all that they defined within the group. And that's it. Try. Well, what? Quickly.
The more I feel this concept of love, can I then give to other people?
No, sir. You need a guide, otherwise you're going to get confused and get really complex here.
So what's this state called, a pipeline towards other people?
Also, you need, you're missing some, this needs to be not just understanding with your intellect, but also feeling in your heart. You need someone that will help stabilize you. Maybe Tzvika will help you. Okay. Well, the small guy there.
Is there a hatred that is not unfounded hatred? Is there a rightful hatred?
Meaning that there's no justification. It comes to me out of my nature.
Is there a different kind of hatred that is?
But of course.
When is it right to hate?
Well, you did something to me, so I hate you. That I can say that there's damage here, so accordingly I hate you. I have justification. I take you to the judge, and that's it. let's say. Whereas unfounded, it's unfounded. There's simply, it's from the creation of the world like that, it comes to me. Meaning, what is unfounded hatred? It comes from the Creator. That which, as I attribute my hatred to the Creator, it's called unfounded hatred. Good. That's it. Moscow. What else do they have there?
Rob, another question I'd like to ask. You're talking about troubling times that are expecting us. You also said with regards to the U.S. and China and Russia.
Only in every place it'll be in a different way.
Question is this. I noticed that a group that we didn't see for a long time physically, the Guadalajara group, and with this kind of renewed connection, physical connection of the group, does that influence the processes that happen in a country of a certain group? Does that speed up the process that the country is going through?
Of course it is, and I am very happy also that I see them on the screens now. Certainly. It's a very precious group for me. I remember the convention that we had there with Avram, the one on the right. Avram, the right one. And yes, I really hope that we are advancing as far as the registration for our convention, and that as many as possible people will come from the Russian speakers especially. That's it. I don't have anything to say. We're going to go now to our weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and after that, immediately, we will begin with the materials for the convention and with joy and good advancement. Meaning, we will learn now, during these 2-3 days, about the ruin as much as possible, in order to then begin to raise our impression from the shattered vessels to correction. That's it. Yes.
What influences...
I don't hear.
What influences the greatness, hatred...
Say it slower.
What influences greatness, hatred, and evil? Let's say hatred to humanity and evil in the world. Where does it come from? I'll repeat the question. What influences the hatred and the evil in the world? The size of it, the magnitude of hatred and evil in the world?
Our will to receive, which rises towards corrections, and we don't correct it. So it's disclosed us as bad, as evil. We continue to not correct it. It is revealed as greater evil and more, in order to give us the possibility to correct it. So to the extent in which we continue and are late and we're disparaging this correction, disregarding it, this is what happened. Look at what's happening in the world now. It's what falls we're seeing now in the whole world, and in every country in a different way, in a different manner. This one in a monetary way, and that one in the form of, let's say, hunger, like in Russia. It seems to me like a very not good picture. It's not necessarily climate blows, but supply and true hunger. And China in a certain manner, and the blows will be each, they will be varied in different ways in different places in the world, because we are not correcting the situation. What will you do? So the anti-Semitism is going to come, the anti-Israelism is going to come, and in general the anti will come to even a person that is not associated with this whole matter will feel that there's all kinds of problems upon him, because he, let's say, it doesn't matter, some friend of ours from Finland, let's say, I don't know from where, if he belongs to that free choice which should have been there to correct the world and he did do it, then also to him that blow will come in such a way that it comes to him, and accordingly, according to his neglect in the correction that he didn't do. So it won't be in the form of anti-Semitism, like in general towards the nation, but in a direct, personal, specific way. But of course it will be. And that's how it will be in the whole world. In short, we need to start working. What do we have? What announcements? Or?
So first of all, thanks to the TV viewers and have a good day. And announcement, the Torah portion lesson with Rav Lightman today, 1:30 p.m. Israel time. All of the friends, men and women, are invited to come physically. Register through the link that's sent on the WhatsApp. And from Unity to One, the Kabbalah Congress in Chisinev, Moldova. Go to kabbalah.info/convention for details. September 6th through the 8th. With this, we conclude. Good day.